could sing these songs as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is you. Ooh.
track with continuing to follow Jesus. Because Jesus had to be prepared to be unfollowed so that he could keep following the Father. Because whatever I see the Father doing, that's what I'm doing. I'm here to do the Father's business. And so in our world of notoriety and trying to build your platform, trying to build your followers and trying to build your... The only way ultimately that we're going to do what God's called us to do and to have his light shine through us is to keep following the light. And when you keep following the light, you've got to be prepared that many will stop following you. So arise. Arise. Shine. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen. 2021, it's our time to arise. It's our time to shine. Because the glory of the Lord is risen upon us and the light of Christ lives within us. But if you and I don't stay connected to Jesus, if you and I don't believe that this is the authoritative word of God, if you and I do not pursue righteousness and holy living, if you and I are indifferent about the words that we speak and our confession, if you and I care more about how many are following us than how many are not following Jesus, then we're going to lose the potency of that light. Then we might arise, but we ain't shining much. And people will not be being set free, and people will not be being saved, and people will not be being delivered. But if we dare to do this, man, that's the adventure. If we dare to step into 2021, and here we go, and go, okay, Lord, whatever it costs, old school, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. I'm talking old school, guys. No turning back. No turning back. But if you make the decision not to turn back, you may lose followers. You may lose. I'm not here to go, it's going to be awesome, man. It's going to build your brand. It's going to help your sales. I'm actually saying maybe the opposite, except you're going to find abundant life. People are going to be set free. So arise, shine. Here's the good news. I don't need what people are going to give me because Jesus says, oh no, I'm going to blow you away with what I'm going to pour into your life. Chris, you're not going to lack anything, sweetheart. And you know what's going to happen, Chris? People are then going to see how dark the world is around them and they're going to flock to you because they're flocking to me, ultimately. They're flocking to me. And so the very thing that we want, we're actually only ever going to get if we're...
He are God, my wife. good morning, everyone. Welcome to Ascend Church. We invite you to stand and worship with us this morning. And to our church family watching online, we invite you to join us in worship right where you are as we enter into God's presence. Amen.
You this morning, Lord. Come on, church, let's get ready to give him praise. Come on.
You're in your light, we find what makes us come alive, a sacrifice of praise. A city on a hill, surrender to your will, your glory on display. Your glory on display.
I want you to give him a big old shout of praise this morning. He's so worthy. Hallelujah. We thank you for your presence here this morning, God. We thank you, Lord, that you would move through this place. Fill this place with your presence, God. Change the atmosphere. God, we're open. We're waiting. We need you, Jesus. mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see. Wonders are still what you do. And bodies are still being raised. And giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see. Wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts. Thank you. We thank you, church, right now, wherever you are, whatever you're going through. Right now, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to bless his name this morning. I want you to bless his name this morning, even in the face of what you don't think he can win or what you don't think he can beat. I want you to raise your hand and your voice this morning. I want you to give him glory this morning, because in that, that's going to be your move. That's going to be your breakthrough. And I don't want to let this moment go. June 6, 2021. Okay? I want you to remember the date. Because that was the day you raised up your hand. You raised up a banner to God. And you gave him praise in advance. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're going to have the youngest of our team lead us into the presence of God this morning.
Are full of faith. Of deliverances, testimonies of complete healing In the name of Jesus, we agree. Amen. Family, we're going to sing one more worship song. Let me tell you, that's what changes this atmosphere. The way we've been worshiping God is where we're turning our eyes off of the natural and turning our eyes upon the one we worship. Worship Him as if it was just you and Him in the room. Amen. And come forward if you need prayer this morning.
Oh,
throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Worth it all, worth it all. The spirit of gratitude. Let's just shout out a praise this morning. Oh, you are worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. If you can't find the words, you can say, oh.
Has done. Are you grateful? You think back on your life and think of where you could have been and what he saved you from. And for all eternity, we're going to be thanking him. The more we realize what we've been delivered from and translated into, we're going to be grateful. Amen. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just take 60 seconds? Welcome someone. How wonderful to see you all. Don't the worship team do such a phenomenal job? Such a good job. You know what I love about it is they don't see it as a gig. You know, Muff's a professional musician. Carly is a professional musician. That's what they do for a living. And yet this is not a gig because they choose to worship God with what they've, their gifts, right? And we're so grateful for them. You know, it changes the atmosphere in the service. And even before, when we had prayer before the service, Abel was praying, Lord, use the musical instruments to bring your presence. That's the heart of worship. Amen. And so we're so thankful for you all. We really are. But good to see you in church this morning, and welcome to those that are watching online. We have far more people watch online every week and during the week than even what we have in church. So we are thankful that you watch. If it's one of our Ascend Church members and you're staying away for any reason that doesn't apply to being in church, you should come back to church because we'd love to see you. So we miss you and we think about you often. So there, we still have members that are not back in church, and we have faithful members, people that send in their tithe regularly, and we're so grateful for that. But we'd love to see you, see your faces, and just welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We love having visitors in our church, and we like to just honor you. Don't want to embarrass you. Just want to give you a visitor bag right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind waving your hand? I saw someone early. Okay, we'll do this after. Thank you. We'll do this after. They're talking. Praise God. Well, I just wanted to say there's a number of people, you know, I don't want to say this at the risk of not saying it when it's somebody else's birthday, but we had a lot of church birthdays this week. And just want to honor a few people that have birthdays today. I know Jennifer, she's right at the back, so happy birthday to you. And Bruce, where's Bruce sitting? There he is. Come on, Bruce. I think it may be a big one. It may be a big one for him. Dave, I know you had a birthday. Good to see you in church today. And Nick had a birthday. Anybody else have a birthday this week? This is like a popular week. But praise God, we love you all. We are so thankful for our church family. And maybe you have just been around a little while and you haven't really got to know some other people. I encourage you to just talk to a few people, and you'll be surprised at the friends you can make. Lifelong friends. We had some good encounters. Pastor Steve and I were out this weekend. We had to get out of our house for a showing, and we bumped into Rox Roy and Karen. I think they were on a date night, and we hijacked their date night and got on a boat and went for a boat ride with them around Jupiter. So it was fun. But there's some wonderful people in this church. I hope you just take time to just mingle and meet some people, because I think it'll bless your life. We're meant to encourage each other, right? But let me move along. I just want to say that we're going to pass the clipboard by during the service. The ushers pass the clipboards, and the reason for that is for Pastor Steve to just keep up to date with who's here. I know we try and make note of who's here, but sometimes you miss someone, and so please just fill that out. If your phone or emails change, just change it for us. We'd appreciate it. If you don't get our text, just text the word ascend to 313131. Just want to let you know the social media platforms, which are great for sharing the word and for watching the service if you're not here, or watching it again afterwards. If those who are watching, check in on Facebook. We're glad you joined us today. Share the live stream. Any one of us can share it. It reaches out to people. You could share our Facebook, like and share our Facebook and Instagram pages. Download the app. There's a barcode right there on the seat. And just hover your phone over it, your camera, and you can download the app. There's so much on there. Just reminding you of the different ways, those that are watching, there are different ways to watch our church, obviously in person, but then you can go on our website, which is ascendchurch.us, on our app. You can watch the service, you can watch the message, and on YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, the message will be on there. And on Facebook, it's live, and then it's available afterwards on Ascend Church Facebook. And then on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m. on Fox 29 in our area. So there's various ways to watch, but nothing beats being in church. Let me tell you, I wouldn't pick any of those over being in church. Amen? And I just want to remind you, as we get ready to go into the Word of God, which is going to be good today. I know it's going to be as it always is, but the Word of God always ministers to us. But I want to remind us about the main purposes in this church, the four main purposes. First of all is to help people know God, to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference with your life. Amen. So thank you for being with us this morning. Pastor Steve.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. She does a wonderful job every week, right? Thank you. Good morning. It's good to see you. I always wait to see how the report back is, the feedback. This is my highlight of my week. I look forward to church above everything else this week. I don't know about you, but it's the highlight of my week. This is actually the beginning of your week. It's not the ending. You're starting a week right now, because Sunday is the first day of the week. And you're starting your week by honoring the Lord. And I really believe when you honor God, when you start your week that way, it makes a big difference to the rest of the week. Amen? So tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. I mean, we've had a great time already. I want to thank everybody who came to pray. I'm happy to see the prayer meeting on Sunday before service is growing. And I also notice the people that come to pray. I see them growing in their prayer life. And so thank you for coming to pray. We pray from 9:15 to like 9:45. And of course, what a wonderful time of worship. I feel like I'm already encouraged by being in prayer and by being in the worship. I'm already encouraged. How about you? Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, that, Lord, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. We are grateful, Lord, for your goodness in our life. We're so grateful that we know you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. Thank you, Lord, as we gather in the name of Jesus, you are in our midst. And I thank you, Lord, for speaking to every person who's in this room, every person who's watching this, Lord, listening to this. I thank you for touching every life. I thank you, Lord, that you encourage the discouraged. And I thank you for bringing encouragement, courage, faith, hope into people's hearts today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I give you all the praise for everything that will be said and for everything that will be done in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, won't you say amen today? Amen. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. My name is Steve Barry. Excuse me, let me try that again. I don't usually start out with God bless you. Let's try that again. Hi, I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. And if you live anywhere near Jupiter, I want to invite you. We would love to have you come and visit our church. I can tell you we've got the friendliest people. They'll make you feel so welcome. Your kids will have a great time at our Sin Kids Church. And so we're hoping we'll see you soon, don't we, everybody? Yeah. Amen. What happened? So what does that mean? 2 seconds. I've got to do it again. Okay, tell me when I can start. What should I do in the meantime? Do a little river dance? What's mine? My favorite scripture. That's a hard one. There's so many. Oh, man, that's a hard one. What's your favorite scripture? 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Amen. That's a good one. That's a good one, man. That's a good one. I think one of my favorite scriptures is actually Joshua 1, verse 8. If you will meditate in the... what does it say? If you will not let my word depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night, observe to do according to all it says, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. I love that. I love that scripture. Are we ready, guys? If we run late today, it's not my fault. Don't blame me. I'm ready. On the 27th of June, Sunday 27th of June, we are doing a big fish fry extravaganza. Now, we had a fish fry at Miguel's house, at Jennifer and Joey's house. We had a big fish fry, and Tommy and his son, Joey, you can't believe all this. They had crab, stone crab claws, and they had, shrimp and fish, and just the table was piled high. And so we're going to do a fish fry on Sunday the 27th. In other words, after church, we're going to be set up. We're going to have chairs. We're going to have tents. We're going to have all kinds of food. We're going to have a great time of fellowship on the 27th of June, last Sunday of this month. And from next week, we'll have sign-up sheets for people to bring sides. So we're going to you're providing all the fish, right? Is that right? All for free. We're not charging anything. Free? Sure. And you want us to bring extra people. You want us to bring people. We want to. You're talking about feeding the 5,000? Feeding the 5,000? We want 5,000 people here. We're going to feed them. Praise God. Praise God. What's happening? You said 2 seconds. How long? What are they doing? Okay. Cameras. Record on the cameras. I can't have everyone sit around waiting while we do this. Let's just record on all the cameras. Praise the Lord. Wipe my mouth. Anything else? Collar good? Everything fine? Can I start, Monique? Are we recording? Thank you. Thank you for your patience, everybody. Hi, I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. If you live anywhere near Jupiter, I want to invite you. We would love to have you come visit our church. We have the friendliest people in the world. They'll make you feel so welcome. Your kids will have a great time at our Ascend Kids Church. So we hope we'll see you soon, don't we, everybody? Now, today, I want to speak about defeating discouragement. Everybody, we all face discouragement, right? Doesn't matter how successful you are. Doesn't matter how many victories you had in the past. Sooner or later, you're going to get the opportunity to get discouraged. It comes to all of us. And I've seen too many people that, you know, they let life wear them down, and they used to have excitement and a spring in their step, but they've allowed themselves to, this heaviness to come on them. It's like a dark cloud that follows them everywhere they go. And if we don't learn to overcome discouragement, it'll really keep us from God's best. That's what happened to the Israelites when they were on their way to the promised land. The Bible says in Numbers 21, verse 4, the people became very discouraged on the way. And the Amplified Bible says they became impatient, depressed, and discouraged because of the trials of the way, because of the challenges, because of the difficulties that they were facing. They became discouraged. And the word discourage means to deprive of courage or of confidence. It means to deprive of hope or the will to proceed. It means to dissuade. It's to, when a person loses their hope and they lose their confidence, that's discouragement. And what's interesting to me is that God was leading the Israelites. It wasn't that they weren't being led the right way. God was directing them, but the problem was they didn't handle the discouragement in the right way. See, because sometimes we think, well, you know, Pastor Steve, I'm discouraged because of where I am. I'm discouraged because of these problems that I'm facing. But God is directing your steps, and God is giving you strength to be where you are and have a good attitude. He's armed you with strength for every battle. When that discouraging spirit comes knocking, you don't have to surrender to it. You can say, listen, no, I'm going to keep my joy. I know God's in control of my life. I know He's going to get me to where I'm supposed to be. Because one thing that you learn from Numbers 21 about the Israelites on their way to the promised land is if you're feeling discouraged, one thing you want to make sure you do is keep your mouth closed. Don't speak those discouraging thoughts out of your mouth. That's the biggest mistake you can make, is to speak your mind when you feel discouraged, to speak out those feelings. The Bible says in Numbers 21, verse 5, they became discouraged and they began to speak against God. And they began to speak against Moses. And they said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's nothing to eat here, and there's nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna. They were complaining about it. They got discouraged. They began to speak against God. They began to speak against Moses. It's important, if you feel discouraged, keep your mouth shut. If you're not going to speak the word of God, if you're not going to agree and say what God says about you, sometimes it's better to be quiet if you can't be positive. They were discouraged along the way. It didn't happen all at one time. It was little by little, they got worn down and they became discouraged. They were good people. They loved the Lord. They'd seen victories in the past, but over time, they lost their passion for life. And finally, they said, man, we should just go back to Egypt. This is never going to work out. They didn't overcome the discouragement. And you know, we're going to face the same type of situations in our life, on our way to our destiny. There will be opposition. The bigger the opposition, the bigger the destiny God has for you. It may take a little longer than what we hoped it would, and it may be more difficult than what we thought it would be. And it's easy to get discouraged and think it's not going to work out. You know, oh, Pastor Steve, I'm just tired of believing for my child to turn around. I'm tired of these people been treating me wrong. I'm tired of tithing and giving. I'm tired of doing this. You got to realize on the other side of that discouragement is a new level of your destiny. When you pass the test, there's always promotion. If you're going to become everything God has created you to be, you got to dig your heels in, man, and you got to declare, I've come too far to stop now. It may be tough. It may be taking a long time. I may not understand it, but I know God is still on the throne, and what He promised me, He will bring it to pass in my life in Jesus' name. You got to have this made-up mind of resolve that no matter how long it takes, no matter what comes your way. You're in it for the long haul, man. You're not going to lose your passion. If you will pass that discouragement test, even if you're in a difficult season right now, you might have a lot of reasons why you could live, you know, negative and discouraged and be down and be depressed. You may be facing financial challenges, or you may be facing some physical challenges, or maybe a relationship is giving you trouble. It's easy to settle there and think, well, you know, this is never going to work out. Listen, God sent you here today. God has you watching this today to breathe new life into your spirit. I want to encourage you. I want to be a Titus to you today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this. He said, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction. We had battles on the outside and fears on the inside. He said, but God, who encourages those who are discouraged, he encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. And it says his presence was a joy, but so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you. When he told us how much you long to see me and how sorry you are for what happened, how loyal you are to me, I was filled with joy. So Titus was encouraged. He encouraged the Apostle Paul. God wants to encourage you, family. I want to encourage you today. I want to be like a Titus to you. Because the word encourage means to put courage into, or put confidence into, or put hope into. I want to speak hope into you today. I want to speak confidence in you today. The scripture says in Isaiah 41 verse 10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious hand. God says, don't be discouraged, man. I'm with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to give you victory. Amen. Don't be discouraged, because God is with you to help you. If you'll shake off that discouragement and self-pity and get a new, fresh vision for your life, then where you are is not where you're going to stay. And let me tell you, it may be taking a long time, but you are closer than you think. Your victory is already on the way. Amen? The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Your right time is coming. Tell him your harvest of blessing is coming. Don't give up. Let me tell you, like the Israelites, you're right next to your promised land. Your due season is right around the corner. That breakthrough, that dream coming to pass, that meeting the right person, overcoming that obstacle, God already has it on his schedule. He's already set the date and the time to make it happen in your life. So now is not the time to get discouraged. Now more than ever is the time to be a believer, to stay in faith. Now is the time to lift up your head. The Bible says in Psalm 24, verse 7, lift up your heads and the King of glory shall come in. See, if you want God to come in and to show his favor in your life, you got to lift up your head. You got to look to God. That's where your help comes from. You can't go through life looking down with your head down like this, thinking about all your problems, dwelling on how bad it is, reliving every negative thing, and still have God's best in your life. No, you got to lift up your head. You got to get a fresh vision for your life. There are greater victories in your future than you've seen in your past. I really believe the best is yet to come in your life. But as long as you're looking down, wondering why it's not working or why it's taking so long, that will keep you from rising higher. David said in Psalm 3, verse 1, O Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are my glory, and you are the one who lifts up my head. You're the one who lifts my head. You see, sometimes our circumstances convince us to keep our heads down. We think, oh, I've got so many problems. I'm so tired of dealing with it. It's just not worth it. No, God is saying to you today, your head's been down long enough. I'm your glory. I'm the lifter of your head. Do you know what the word glory means? The word glory means something which brings renown. It means a state of exaltation. It means splendor, prosperity. It can also mean heavy favor. So when the enemy tries to weigh us down with heavy burdens, he wants us to look down. He wants us to stay focused on our circumstances. Before long, that discouragement is like a heavy weight that we drag around. But if you will let God be your glory, and if you will let him be the lifter of your head, and if you will shake off that discouragement, let me tell you, the only thing that'll be heavy on you is the favor of God. You'll be heavy with God's favor instead of being heavy with discouragement and depression and burdens. You'll be heavy with joy and blessings and victory. Amen. He's our glory. He's the lifter of our heads. That means when we can't lift our head in our own strength, when our circumstances have overwhelmed us, when the medical report knocks the wind out of you, when a relationship hits a major storm and we can't lift our head on our own, that's when God will show up as the lifter of our heads. And that's what God is doing here today. He's lifting your head as I'm speaking his word today. He's breathing new life and new hope into your spirit. He's telling you there are brighter days ahead. David knew about God's lifting power. David said in Psalm 40, verse 2, he lifted me out of the pit of despair. He lifted me out of the pit of discouragement, out of the mud and out of the mire. And he set my feet on a solid ground. And he steadied me as I walked along. And he's given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. And many will see what the Lord has done. And they will be amazed and they will put their trust in him. Amen. Let me tell you, there's some lifting going on here today. God is saying, if you put your trust in me, if you shake off that discouragement, then I'll lift you to a place you couldn't get on your own. I'm going to lift you out of trouble into victory. I'm going to lift you out of sickness into health. I'm going to lift you out of lack into abundance. I'm going to lift you out of unfair situations and trouble. I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. Amen. See, in the times that you feel like being discouraged, it's good to look up and say, Father, you my glory. You're the lifter of my head. You my shield. You said you'd put a new song on the inside of me. You've armed me with strength for every battle. I'm not going to drag around dejected and depressed. I'm going to get my joy back, and I'm going to start expecting your favor in my life. That's what it says in Psalm 30, verse 5. His favor lasts a lifetime. I'm so glad the favor of God doesn't come and go. One day I'm favored and the next day I'm not. No, his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. Let me tell you, the morning starts at 12:01 a.m. is when the new day starts. What's interesting is even though it's a new morning, at midnight it's still dark. It's still dark at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. It doesn't look like anything's happening. But you just stay in faith. Joy is coming. You've entered into a new day. About 6 or 7 a.m., you'll suddenly see the sun break over the horizon. Things will start to brighten up. Business will increase. Health will be restored. Dreams will come to pass. You see, in these discouraging seasons, you've got to remind yourself, he's the lifter of my head. The Most High God, he promised me joy is coming in the morning. His favor lasts a lifetime. Just because it's dark, it doesn't mean it's not on its way. I've entered into a new day. It's just a matter of time before I see the sun break over the horizon. Amen. See, too many people have become discouraged along the way. They hit some setbacks. Instead of shaking it off and, you know, having a new vision, they let it wear them down. They lost their passion. They end up settling for less than God's best for them. See, where you are now is not where God wants you to stay. Just because it happened hasn't happened in the past, that doesn't mean that it cannot happen in the future. If you'll get in agreement with God and shake off that discouragement, God has new seasons of promotion, new seasons of increase that are coming your way. Amen. You know, I grew up in Johannesburg in South Africa. And in Johannesburg, the grass goes brown during the wintertime. It looks like it's dead, but it isn't really dead. It's just not in season. Because in the springtime, the same grass will be just as green and as lush as can be. And that's the way that it is in life, family. Sometimes our circumstances look like they're dead. It may look like that dream is dead. It may look like that marriage is dead. That promise is dead. But realize it's not dead. It's just not in season. It's coming back. New seasons of growth are coming. New health, new relationships, new opportunities. What am I saying? I'm saying just because something looks like it's dead and over, don't write it off, because our God is a God of new beginnings. And when we go through disappointments and we go through setbacks, instead of getting all down and discouraged and giving up, we should have the attitude, it may not look good, it may look like it's over, but I know it's really not dead, it's just not in season. I'm in the wintertime, I know springtime's coming, I'm going to lift my head, I'm going to get ready, God's about to do new things in my life. You see, if you're going to overcome discouragement, you've got to learn how to transition into the different seasons. There's different seasons in life. There's a lady in the Bible, her name is Naomi, and she didn't handle these transitions very well. She failed to realize just because a season is over, that doesn't mean your life is over. Because often we want a certain season to last forever. That may not be how God has planned it. We've got to be open and willing to adapt and adjust when changes come and not get bitter when something happens we don't like or we don't understand. Nobody likes going through changes or loss or disappointment, but it is a part of life. In those difficult seasons, you've got to keep reminding yourself that God is on the throne. And even though the grass looks dead, it doesn't mean that it's not going to be green again. Amen. The name Naomi means pleasant, or it means sweetness. And Naomi, she was doing great. Her life was good. Grass was green. But over time, she went through a series of losses. First, her husband died, and then her two sons were killed in battle. And of course, it's difficult to go through a loss, and there is a time to grieve, but you got to make sure that you don't let a season of mourning turn into a lifetime of mourning. Naomi made the mistake of letting the discouragement get on the inside of her, letting the bitterness get on the inside of her. She didn't think her grass would ever be green. And in Ruth 1 verse 20, she said to them, do not call me Naomi or pleasant or sweetness anymore. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. She said, don't call me pleasant anymore. Don't call me sweetness anymore. Call me bitter. She actually changed her name to bitter or sorrow. When someone said, hey, Naomi, how you doing? She would say, don't call me that. Don't you know what I've been through? I don't have any joy. I don't have any hope. Call me by my new name. Bitter, Mara. That's my name. Call me bitter. See, now when they said, hello, Mara. They were reminding her of her pain, of her misery, of her disappointment. Her attitude was, my dreams have all been shattered. I'm never going to be happy again. Just leave me in my trouble. Leave me in my heartache. See, when you go through a loss or a disappointment or maybe an unfair situation, make sure you don't let life change your name. I know people, one time they were happy, they were positive, they were hopeful, but over time they let life wither them. They didn't handle the different transitions into seasons very well. Now they let life change their name. But this is how good God is. God is so good that if you'll get your joy back, and if you'll shake off that discouragement, and if you'll lift up your head, you'll discover just because the season is over, it doesn't mean your life is over. Naomi went through all this loss, And then she ended up moving back to her original home with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And Ruth meets and marries a man by the name of Boaz. And they have a baby boy. His name's Obed. And he was the grandfather of David. Jesus came from the lineage of David. Now Naomi is an old lady. She's an old woman. And when she saw that baby boy, just something lit up on the inside of her. She felt a new sense of purpose, a new sense of destiny. And the Bible says as she was holding the baby, something amazing happened. A miracle happened. Milk began to be produced in her body. In Ruth 4 verse 16, it says, Naomi took the child, she laid him on her bosom, and she became a nurse to him. Now, how many ladies know what this is, right? You can't be a nurse to a child unless you have milk. This was a miracle. Her milk returned in her old age. And man, let me tell you, how else would she be able to nurse that baby? It must have been a miracle. I mean, Naomi was so happy, man. She found a new purpose, a new destiny. See, just because a good season is over doesn't mean God doesn't have another good season coming. Let me tell you, you wouldn't be alive if God didn't have a purpose for you. You might have been through a disappointment, and a good season might be over in your life. But if you will shake it off and keep on moving forward, you're going to come into another good season. God will reveal to you a new purpose, new friends, new opportunities. Once you discover your purpose, your milk will start to flow. It doesn't matter if you're 30 years old, 50 years old, or 95 years old. God has something for you. If you're still breathing, God has a purpose. God has a destiny for you. See, some people are kind of like Naomi, that you've gone through a great disappointment. Maybe something unfair happened, and you thought, well, I tell you what, Pastor Steve, I'm done, man. I'm just going to go home. I'm going to give up on life. I'm going to give up on my family, give up on my dreams. It's all over. No, you got to realize there's a Ruth out there that needs you. There's a baby boy who's counting on you. There's someone who needs what you have. Don't let life change your name. Get your enthusiasm back. You wouldn't be breathing if God didn't have an assignment for you, something for you to accomplish. Somebody needs what you have in your life. Amen. See, here's the key. Don't get discouraged and fall apart or live with a chip on your shoulder. Stay in faith. Keep doing good. Keep coming to church. If you do, then like Naomi, you're going to come into a new season. You're going to start producing milk. So God's going to do a new thing in your life. God's going to bring things out of you didn't even know were in you. He'll give you supernatural ability that'll take you places you never dreamed. Some of you are facing discouragement right now. You feel the weight of the heaviness. You're tired and you don't feel like fighting anymore. But today is a new day. God is breathing new hope and new vision into your spirit today. But you got to do your part. You got to lift up your head. You got to shake off the discouragement. The grass may look dead, but you know the truth. It's not dead. It's just not in season. But springtime's coming. The morning's coming. New opportunities. They are in my future. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you will shake off that discouragement, you'll step into a new level of your destiny. Because if the enemy can't get you discouraged, you take away one of his biggest weapons. When things don't go your way and you should be down, you should be negative, and you should be bitter, and you should be complaining, but instead you shake it off and you lift up your head. Let me tell you, you put on a new attitude. You expect the favor of God. You do that, you give the enemy a nervous breakdown. He doesn't know what to do with people that just won't give up, with people that just stay believing God. He doesn't know what to do with them. He can't defeat people who are joyful and hopeful and positive. Let me tell you, the good news is that you might have gotten discouraged, but you can get encouraged. David was discouraged in one of the darkest times of his life. He was anointed to be king when he was 15 years old. He defeated Goliath when he was 17 years old. Saul made him the commander of the army of Israel. But then Saul became jealous of David, and he tried to kill David. For years, he chased after David. David ended up having to flee from Saul. It was 13 years. But the Bible says 600 mighty men gathered around David. They became David's mighty men. And David continued to fight Israel's enemies and defend Israel. And David and his men made their home in a place called Ziklag. And one day they came home and they found that the Amalekites had attacked their village. And it says in 1 Samuel 30 verse 1, when David and his men came home to Ziklag on the third day, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid on the south and on Ziklag, and they had struck Ziklag and burned it with fire. And it says they had taken the woman and all who were there, both great and small, captive. And they killed no one, but they carried them off and went on their way. So David and his men came to the town, and behold, it was burned. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And David and the men who were with him lifted up their voices and they wept until they had no more strength to weep. You can understand David feeling discouraged. He comes home and his home is burned down. And his family have been taken prisoner. It says David's two wives have been taken captive. Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. And the men spoke of stoning him because the souls of them were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and his daughters. But what did David do? David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. When David went through one of the darkest times of his life, can you just imagine? We think we go through tough times, and we do, I understand. But can you imagine coming home, your house is burned down, your family's been taken captive, and you can imagine feeling so discouraged. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You got to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord, family. How did David encourage himself? Well, from what we know about David, it's easy to imagine how he went about encouraging himself. He probably took his harp, retreated to a solitary place, and he began to sing songs of praise to God. No doubt he didn't feel like singing, but he did it anyway. Maybe he sang Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. The Living Bible says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. Say, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of His glories and His grace. I'll bless the Lord at all times, good times, bad times. Even on the worst day of your life, God is worthy of praise. David sang praises to God from the ashes of Ziklag. Amen. Verse 2, Psalm 34 says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. The Living Bible says, I will boast of all His kindness to me. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt His name. David's feeling discouraged. What does he say? I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens, man. And he ends off the psalm. I was going to read the whole psalm, but I'm going to just get to verse 19. The whole thing's good, man. Go read it. I'll tell you right now, when I feel discouraged, one of the things I do is I read the Psalms. I begin to worship the Lord and I read the Psalms. Verse 19, David ends the psalm, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Passion Bible says, even when bad things happen to the good and the godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. Say, thank you, Lord. You won't let me be defeated by what I'm facing. See, through worship, David changed his focus. He said, magnify the Lord with me. Do you know magnify means to enlarge? It means to make it bigger in perspective. When we magnify a small object with a magnifying glass, we don't change its reality. We don't make the object that we are looking at any bigger. We change our perception of the object. You see, you can't make God any bigger than He already is, but you can magnify or you can diminish your perspective of God. And your perspective has got everything to do with whether you are encouraged or whether you are discouraged. You got to have the right perspective. Man, I refuse to magnify the devil. I refuse to magnify my circumstances. I'm not gonna analyze my trouble with a magnifying glass because that just leads me to deeper discouragement. No, instead, I'm gonna magnify the Lord. I'm gonna talk about His greatness and His power and His might and how big God is and how faithful God is. I'm gonna magnify the Lord. When you make God bigger, you make your trouble smaller. Praising God is the path to encouragement. When praise is in your mouth, let me tell you right now, there can be no grumbling, no complaining, no negative speaking. Amen. Praise is the language of faith. If you want to strengthen your faith, begin to praise God. In fact, praise is a weapon God has given you. In Psalm 149, verse 6, it says, God's high and holy praises fill their mouths, for their shouted praises are their weapons of war. Do you know that praise is a mighty weapon that God has given you? Can you say amen? It's a weapon God has given you, man. Paul and Silas did the same thing 1,000 years later. They'd been arrested for doing a good thing. They cast the spirit of divination out of a young girl. And as a result, they were arrested. They were beaten with rods. They were imprisoned in the dungeon. Their feet were in stocks. How did they respond? In a most amazing way. At midnight, instead of despairing, instead of crying, instead of complaining, the Bible says in Acts 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night, and they sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. And suddenly a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison, and all at once every prison door flung open, and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. Man, in the midnight hour, in the darkest hour, when they were in jail with their backs beaten and their feet in stocks, what did they do? They sang praise to God. They chose to encourage themselves by praising God, and God responded in an amazing way by supernaturally delivering them. Let me tell you, Paul and Silas were just following the tradition pioneered by David when he encouraged himself in the Lord with songs of praise, man. David sang those songs of praise, a change came over him. A spark of faith brought a glimmer of hope, and David could feel himself being encouraged. And the moment David began to encourage himself in the Lord, he placed himself on a trajectory to turn his whole situation around, because God told him, go and pursue the enemy, and you are going to recover everything. And that's exactly what happened. It says in verse 18, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking. Nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, or sons or daughters or spoil or anything which they had taken. David recovered it all. He got it all back after he encouraged himself in the Lord. And let me tell you the most amazing part. That's not even the best part. That's a good part. David didn't know it, but King Saul had been killed in battle. And 72 hours later, David became king of Judah. In the darkest time of his life, he was 72 hours from the throne. It may be dark in your life right now, but your greatest victory could be right around the corner. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Be encouraged. I'm going to close with tell you how to encourage yourself. This is what I do. How to encourage yourself in the Lord. Discouragement comes to me. What do? Number one, you encourage yourself by prayer. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run, not be weary. They'll walk and not faint.
Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. Don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. Let me tell you, I find one of the greatest ways of encouraging myself is praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And the New English Translation says he builds himself up. And the New Living Translation says he is strengthened personally. Now, being strengthened and encouraged is kind of the same thing. Jude verse 20, it says, you build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, that's what I do. My number one go-to when I feel discouraged is I get down and I start praying in the Holy Spirit. I start praying in tongues. And I feel edification. I feel that encouragement. I feel the discouragement leave, and I feel the peace of God begin to flood my heart and flood my mind. I thank God that I can. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. That's a great way to encourage yourself. Secondly, you encourage yourself by praising God. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 verse 3, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do you know that praise removes heaviness? Do you know that when you start praising God, man, you can't stay discouraged? Praise puts your focus on God instead of the problem. I can't tell you how many Sundays I come to church and I feel discouraged. You'll never know. You have no idea how many Sundays I face discouragement. I get in here and I start praising God on the first song. And by the time we get to the fourth song, that discouragement's gone. And I'm feeling joy and I'm feeling peace. And the heaviness goes. Let me tell you, I get in here and I sing and worship God, not for your sake, for my sake. Praise does more for you than it ever do for God. Abraham did this. God promised Abraham he'd have many children. And Abraham was 99 years old, and it hadn't happened. What did Abraham do? The Bible says in Romans 4, verse 20, no unbelief or distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong, and he was empowered by faith as he gave praise to God. You see, when you give praise to God, you are strengthened. Your faith is strengthened. You are empowered. His faith was strengthened as he praised God. Worship is showing your faith, and God responds to worship. Worship brings victories in your life. Psalm 18, verse 3 from the Message Bible. I sing to God, and I find myself safe and saved. I sing to the Lord, and I find myself safe and safe. Second thing to do to encourage yourself in the Lord is start praising Him. Start praising Him. I get down in my office. I've got this little Alexa speaker. I put it on my Spotify. I get my Brandon Lake playlist because I'm just into Brandon Lake right now. I just love Brandon Lake, man. And I put on the song, Come On My Soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. And I begin worshiping God. And let me tell you cannot stay discouraged and worship God at the same time. Number three, you encourage yourself with the Word of God. You encourage yourself with the Word of God. Psalm 119 verse 28 says, I weep with grief. My heart is heavy with sorrow. Encourage me and cheer me with your words. Do you know that God's word will encourage you? God's word will cheer you up. Romans 15 verse 4 says, the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. The Passion Bible says, the scriptures impart to us encouragement and inspiration so we can live in hope and endure all things. The Word of God will encourage you and strengthen you so you can live with hope and expectation. I encourage you. You want to be encouraged? Read the Bible. Read God's word. Every time I read the word of God, God speaks to me. Meditate on the promises of God. Don't just read the Bible. Meditate on it. Let me say, you know what meditation is? Instead of meditating on your problems, because that's what worry is. Worry is meditating on your problems, thinking about your problem. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What's going to happen? How am I going to get out of this? Meditating on my problems. Instead of meditating on your problems, meditate on what God says. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches. Meditate on what God says. Not only that, say what God says. You've got to speak out what God says. When you say what God says, you'll get what God promises. When you say what God says, you'll get what God promises. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us. Just as the psalm writer did when he said, I believe, therefore I speak. Do you know who the psalm writer was who said that? I'll give you three guesses. This is not a trick question. Who was the psalm writer who said, I believe? David. He's the one who wrote that. He wrote it in Psalm 116. I believe, therefore I speak, because it was one way David encouraged himself. If you read the whole of Psalm 34, in verse 12 and 13, David said, do you want a long, good life? Watch your tongue. Keep your lips from speaking evil. David knew the power of speaking and saying what God says. The prophet Joel, in Joel 3 verse 10, he said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. You've got to say what God says. You've got to speak victory. Don't speak out those discouraging thoughts. If you can't be positive, be quiet. Jesus said you will have what you say. He said, don't speak. He said, if you speak to the mountain, whoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes the things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he say. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. He didn't say, speak about the mountain. Don't talk about your problem. Speak to it in the name of Jesus. Watch and listen to sermons. This is all God's word will encourage you. Watch and listen to sermons. I mean, we live in a time where you can watch just about any preacher you want on the internet for free. In my day, we had to go buy the tape. We had to go buy the cassettes. I had thousands of cassettes in my office that I'd listen to. Now you can just go online and watch it all for free. You can go on our app. We've got over 100 sermons on video on our app. There is no excuse. There's no excuse. Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you hear the word of God, it increases your faith. Be in church every Sunday. I can promise you, you will be encouraged by God's word every Sunday. And not only that, your church family will encourage you. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. And let me tell you, there never is a time. As some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day drawing near. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, don't fool yourself. Bad friends will destroy you. Some of you are being discouraged because of the people you hang around. Some of you are being discouraged because of the people you hang around. Hang around with believers who will encourage you. Become friends with people in church. Be in church every Sunday. You will be encouraged. It's a money-back guarantee. I give you a money-back guarantee. Number four, and I'll close with this. Encourage yourself by remembering what God has done for you in the past. When you're in a tough time, you don't see a way out. Instead of being discouraged and negative, remember what the Lord has done for you in the past. When you remember how God has protected you, how God has promoted you, how God has provided for you, how the Lord has healed you, how He restored you, let me tell you right now, faith will rise in your heart. Instead of thinking, I'll never get out of this problem, you'll say, man, God did it for me before. He's going to do it for me again. He made a way in the past. He's going to make a way again. Amen. And let me tell you, when you come through this challenge, that victory will be the fuel that you use to get you through the next challenge. When the Israelites got discouraged by the difficulties they faced in the wilderness, on their way to the promised land, do you know what God told them? In Deuteronomy chapter 7, He said, perhaps you will think to yourself, how can we ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? Don't be afraid of them. Just remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all the land of Egypt. You saw it with your own eyes. Remember the miraculous signs and wonders and the amazing power that He used when He brought you out of Egypt. The Lord your God will use the same power against the people that you fear. When it looks impossible, you don't see a way out. The way to stay encouraged, the way to keep your hopes up, is remember what God has done for you in the past. I'm sure David did this. I'm sure David remembered as he was standing in the ashes of Ziklag and his family's been captured. He remembered facing Goliath. And Goliath, 10 feet tall, and David was 17 years old, and he remembered how God gave him victory and encouraged him. We recently sold our house, and we're under contract on another condo. But one day before inspection, before the inspection period was over, the buyer canceled without any explanation. So our house is back on the market. We asked for an extension on the condo that we're buying, and they gave us an extension on it. But the deadline is coming up, and I felt discouragement trying to get a hold of me. And suddenly, the Lord reminded me of a past victory. In 1991, we were leaving Johannesburg. We were going to start the church in Cape Town. We were 27 years old. We'd listed our home with a realtor in the church. We listed it with him. Exclusive listing. He didn't bring one person to see our house in 90 days. Not one single person. Not one showing. Meanwhile, we've been to Cape Town. We've signed the lease for the church building. We've rented space. We've signed a lease to rent a house. We've paid the deposits. We've enrolled our kids in school. I mean, we're all ready to go. So here it goes. We got 10 days and we're going to be in Cape Town. And we haven't sold the house. In fact, no one's even come to see it. We're depending on the funds from the sale of our house to help us. We're gonna sow it into the church. And we believe in God. We're declaring our house is sold. Our house is sold. Jill's dad, who wasn't really a believer, every time I saw him, he'd say, have you sold the house? What are you going to do? What are you going to do if it doesn't sell? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? On the day of our farewell party, they threw us a farewell party in Johannesburg. 10 days before we're supposed to be in Cape Town, we got a call. Our listing had just expired after 90 days. And an agent we never knew called us and said, I've got someone who wants to see your house. He said, well, we're actually getting ready. We're on our way to a farewell party. They said, well, could we come by? And we said, sure. They came by. And they were a cash buyer. They said, we want to buy the house, but here's a problem. We need to be in here in 7 days. Can you do that? We can make a plan. We can work with that. The Lord reminded me of that. The Lord, because you got to know. Now, I'm telling you this now, and I'm like, ha, ha, ha. At the time, it was like this huge obstacle. Everything was dependent on us selling that house. And God reminded me, and I felt faith rise in me. And I said, God, you did it then, and I know you'll do it again. Let me tell you, every one of you, you've seen with your own eyes times where God made a way where you didn't see a way. You need to go back and replay those victories. That's how you encourage yourself in the Lord. You don't have to be discouraged. You can be encouraged in the Lord by praying, by praising, by reading the Word of God, by declaring the Word of God, by remembering what God has done. Let me tell you, God is the lifter of your head. Let God lift your head today. Stop looking down. Look up from where you are and get a fresh vision for your life. I really believe if you do that, God will do what He promised David. He'll pull you out of the pit. He'll put your feet on the solid rock. He'll put a new song in your heart. You won't drag through life defeated, discouraged. You will soar through life full of joy, full of faith, full of victory in the name of Jesus. If you have struggled with discouragement, I want to speak words of faith over you today in the name of Jesus. I declare today that the spirit of discouragement is broken off of your life. I declare the spirit of heaviness and depression is broken off of you and broken off of your family and broken off of your future. It'll have no effect on you. Be encouraged today because the Lord is with you. He is for you. And if God is for you, who can stand against you? Can you say amen? The Lord is your helper. He keeps His promises. Be filled with courage. Be filled with hope. Be filled today. The Lord will deliver you from everything you're facing. Do you receive it today? Come and give the Lord one more big hand of praise today. Come on, give Him one more great praise today. Father, I thank You today for filling us with courage. I thank You for encouraging people, strengthening people, that we go out of here with a new resolve, Lord. We go out of here, Lord, with encouragement and faith and hope in our heart. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Just bow your head for a moment. While your head is bowed, while your eyes are closed, I want to pray. We never ever close the service without giving people an opportunity to just make sure that everything is right and well between you and God. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say you know for sure, for certain, that you would go to heaven? Or do you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, are you sure? Can you say that you know for certain that if you died today, that heaven is where you'd spend all eternity? Because let me tell you the good news. You can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right between you and God. You can know that every mistake you ever committed in your life is forgiven and is washed away. And you can know for certain that heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have our heads bowed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. Because I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and God. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, just slip your hand up right now. Just lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. Thank you. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. I see hands being raised. I want everyone who lifted up your hand, please say this prayer with me. In fact, church, can we all please say this prayer? The scripture says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Say this with me, everybody, especially if you lifted your hand. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth, to die on a cross and take my sin. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess that Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. Say this. Say, I do this today. Say, I believe, Jesus, you are alive. You've been raised from the dead. I ask you to come into my life. Save me, Lord. Make me your child. I surrender to you. I confess Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Say, from today, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to live for you. Say, I thank you. Say, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Give God thanks and praise. There's people that lifted their hand today. We rejoice with you. Amen.
I'm encouraged. How about you? Encouraged, man.
Thank you.
The Word of God does it every time. Every time. Well, family, as we come to the conclusion of the service, this is an opportunity we have to give into the kingdom of God. Those that are watching online, you can go ahead. There's a link on ascendchurch.us. You can give. It's really simple. I just want to read you two scriptures. Deuteronomy 14 verse 23 says, the purpose of tithing, some people are like, well, what's the purpose of tithing? They think it's like a man-made idea, like the pastor dreamed it up. But it says that God had this idea. He says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. So come on, God just wants to be first. That's all. He doesn't want everything we have, but he just wants to be first, right? And the way when we tithe, when we bring him the first tenth, he says it is proof that we're putting him first in this area of our life. And then Proverbs 3 verse 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord. Say, I honor the Lord when I give. So it says, honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. Now, Pastor Steve preached last week, and he talked about how God wants to bless us and wants to increase us. And I was encouraged by that because it's the Word of God. No matter what area you're talking about, when you hear the Word of God, it brings faith for that in your life. And then we had one of our members call us up. His name's Troy. And he called us up and told us his testimony. And just like you were saying, your testimony, we look back and it encourages us when we think of testimonies of our life. We're encouraged by other people's testimonies. So Troy was working at Sears, and it was so quiet. But he was always faithful to tithe. Let me tell you, we saw Troy's tithe more than we saw Troy, because his tithe was coming in faithfully. Whatever he got, he wasn't always able to be in church, but he was always faithful to tithe. Well, he said that God gave him an opportunity to go into a new business, and so he went into selling cars, and he'd never done that before. But he says he went in, and he was just this last week, this last month, he was the top salesman out of 20 guys. He was the top salesman. Let me tell you, come on, if that was you, you'd clap a little louder than that, right? Huh? That's 20. He sold 20 cars, and he was the top salesman amongst 20 salespeople. And so he testified. He says, God is blessing me as I've been faithful. No matter what, whether it was $50 he got, he tithed five. Whether it was $500, he tithed five. He was just always faithful. And that is what the Word of God does. God is faithful to his word. Amen. I just want to encourage you with that. And you know, there's something to be said with consistency as well. You know, our online giving is such a blessing, because in this time where people, we still have some members that are not back in church, and yet they tithe consistently. And let me just tell you, in the basic administration of things in a church, consistency really helps. You know, you may save it up and come 3 months later and give it all. That's great. But it's really nice when it's consistent. So thank you for doing that. And set yourself up on online giving. It's really easy. There's various ways to give, but online is just so simple, and it's very secure. You're not going to have any issues with your financial details. So thank you for being faithful. We believe in God for increase. We believe in God for increase in your life. There's some other testimonies that are around here. Dave's going to give us an awesome testimony, but we're holding on for the end of it. There's just good things God's doing. So believe God for the best. financially, amen. And so thank you for your faithfulness. The ushers are going to pass an offering bucket by. If you're here for the first time, drop your guest card in. And let's pray right now. Father, Pastor Steve and I release our faith over the members of this church, over those that are watching and giving. Father, we thank you that you said, you promised, and we hold you to your word. You said that when we bring the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in your house, that you will open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing, that they will not even have room enough to receive it. Father, I thank you for blessings pouring upon your people. I thank you for new doors of opportunity opening. I thank you for favor in the business place. I thank you, Father, that when they come to do a deal or get a contract, Father, that the favor of God rests on them and that they are able to do great business transactions. We thank you for your blessing. Yes. We thank you for increase. Yes. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you for your faithful giving and tithing. It's what enables us to be here every week. I want to also thank everybody who invited a guest to come. If you invited a guest, thank you for inviting that person. And please take this little invite card that's on your seat and use it to invite someone to come to church next Sunday. Say it with me. Say, I declare. Say, everybody. Say, I declare this our church is filled every Sunday. Every seat is filled. And God's using me to fill them in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank all of our servant leaders, all our volunteers. Thank you, everyone who served today. We appreciate you, our ushers, our greeters, our media team, our kids' church, our worship team. Thank you. Come on, let's sing as we go, man. Let's give God thanks and praise.
We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Thank you for the move of God in your life this week. See you Sunday.